Welcome to the Normal Birth Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Whipple, and on today's show, we sit down with Liza H., mom of two, to talk about the importance of flexibility in birth. Liza's story includes details of VBAC and postpartum bleeding, but is not graphic enough to be problematic for most listeners. It's my hope that listening to this episode will help new moms have grace with themselves when considering their birth options.
Welcome, Liza.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. How are you doing today?
Doing well. It's good to be out of the house.
Yeah. You nervous?
A little bit. Take some breaths. Be good.
Yeah. How many kids do you have?
Two kids. I have Leif, who's five and a half, and then Ava, who just turned three.
Okay. You want to go in order of who's born first?
Sure.
Okay.
Do that. Start with Leif.
Sure.
Okay. So, you're going to ask me questions, or did I just kind of go?
Which would you prefer?
Maybe start with the questions. That'll help me flow better.
Okay. So, let's start with you getting pregnant. I don't really like to dive too far into that, because people don't always want to share. But do you want to share about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty open book. So,
okay.
If you have questions, I'll answer that way. Pregnancy was pretty good, or getting pregnant. So, I have four sisters in my family. Five sisters, but I'll talk about two of them primarily. My oldest sister, who's 40, and then my sister-in-law, who married my brother, who's 30. Well, she says she's 30 forever, so we'll go with 30, Megan. So Megan and Sarity, and they're kind of two different spectrums of things.
Okay.
Like my older sister, Sarity, she has five kids. She just kind of goes with the flow, whatever happens, happens. You know, I have some information, but I'm going off of my heart, my gut, and that's what's going to be best.
Yeah.
And then we have Megan, who was probably a midwife in her past life, who just researches everything, knows everything. If you have a question, she'll tell you, well, this is what the book says, and this is what the recommendation says, and this is what all the groups say.
Yeah.
So I kind of listen to both of them and go in the middle. So the pregnancy, you know, they're both kind of like, just go for it. I mean, just try, see what happens, you know, don't put too much into it.
Yeah.
Megan said, no, there's ovulation strips if you want to go that route. And mm-hmm. Sarah says, you know, there's just sex route, you know, don't worry about it. So we'll just go with it because we're not really on a timeline, we'll just see what happens, just kind of go for whatever happens.
So, like, the pull the golden method.
Yep, so I was off. Eric was out of town for a little while before he does Eric's my husband. He worked out of town for, like, 3 weeks at a geology camp of some sort. So I just went off birth control while he was out of town. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was 3 months. To let my body, you know, get natural and kind of start tracking the cycle and just be aware of it.
Yeah.
I kind of have an idea, like, when I maybe be ovulating, so I just had a general thing, and then we would just have sex every 2 to 3 days, or if we wanted to.
Okay.
And that was kind of the flow. And fortunately, the first month, we were going to start trying, I guess it was August.
So this is about 2 or 3 months after you got off birth.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I was on the pill since I was 18,
okay,
type thing. Very regular that way. And then when I got off the pill, my periods were really regular. It was every 28 days.
That's nice.
Just a nice flow, and yeah, you had an idea of what's going on, which I know is not always normal, right? Mm-hmm. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
So then we were going to start trying in August, but my grandma fell ill, so I was down in Urbana, so we didn't try that month. And then September we took off, because the next year Eric wanted to do a field camp for a couple of weeks. We let him do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we officially started in November, and I got pregnant.
Okay,
yeah.
Right away.
Yeah, so that was easy. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. And pregnancy was pretty good. Like, I didn't really think I was pregnant. Like, I had him take, like, a test. Like, can you give me, like, a test to see if I'm pregnant?
Yeah.
Besides the urine test,
yeah,
they'd tell you.
The blood test.
Yeah. So they did, like, a hormone test, which I don't recommend really taking more tests than you need to, because then that test said, oh, well, you have an irregular number. This is much mm-hmm. higher than normal. So
yeah,
it's like you're either going to have a molar pregnancy, which there's going to be no baby,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to have, like, duplicates. And I'm from a family of twins. I was like, shit. Twins! I don't know about twins.
Not sure how people thought that.
But then it all kind of normalized and everything kind of worked out. And
okay.
Pregnancy was pretty simple. I mean, I didn't have any extra bleeding. I didn't have too much pain. My tailbone got pretty sore towards the end. Like, I couldn't sit down for much longer than 10 minutes, I had to be standing. So I was the one in meetings, walking around at work. And
yeah.
And my job was very active, so it was good. I was walking most of the time. I was a case manager in the community, so I was always active, which is really good.
Okay.
And I was running during my pregnancy and just felt great. And that was kind of smooth, which was nice.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, then the tailbone started to really, really hurt. And then, you know, then you're sleeping, wait 45 minutes to an hour every night, because you're peeing all the time. Mm-hmm. And
when did that set in?
About 2 weeks, 3 weeks. My other sheet has that exact information, but like 2 or 3 weeks before.
Okay.
I just,
so late third trimester.
Yeah. And you're just, you know, not sleeping, you're uncomfortable, but still like, this is great, I'm going to have a baby, and I'm creating this, it's not going to last forever, and it's okay. Yeah, that part was pretty smooth. There wasn't anything too complicated with getting pregnant or pregnancy.
That's helpful. So going into labor, where were you on time?
So he was, his estimated due date was July 21st. And we picked like a doctor that would let us be really kind of natural, like listen to your body, you do what you want to do. I mean, we're really flexible. I'm not going to push anything on you. I'll just give you options.
Yeah.
And you can always ask questions. That was like the goal, was kind of just like healthy mom, healthy baby, but try to do it the way that bodies can do it, whatever that's going to be. So if it was C-section, I didn't want to do a C-section, but I had a really good friend, shout out to Mary Jo, who was just kind of saying, C-sections happen. They happened to me. I didn't expect it. It was fine. Baby's fine and I'm fine. Right? Got to do priorities. I had other friends whose mom or themselves elected not to do a C-section. And then it was like the forceps came out and tearing came out. And it was just like a forcing. The baby came out vaginally, but maybe not really the way the baby wanted to come. Right. So I had that in my head. Like, okay, just healthy mom, healthy baby, whatever happens, happens. I want to do the natural way. I want to do non-epidural just to see what my body can do. And I've always had a pain, like a high pain tolerance.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Maybe it's not that bad. Like maybe childbirth is like, you know, just kind of painful, but not too bad. Whoops. Not true. But didn't know, right?
Well, in the like natural birth community, they always say like, oh, it's not contractions, it's rushes. And you just have to go with the waves. And I'm like, that's all well and good until you're in it.
Exactly. It's not a wave. It's death, but it is life, I guess. It's very painful, right?
So what kind of preparation did you do? Did you take any classes or education?
I did a lot of books, just kind of like the natural way and what to expect. Took a couple of classes, like through the hospital offered, like breastfeeding and like child caring 101 type thing in the CPR class type stuff. So I just took like 3 classes. Rest was books and the rest was like just asking Megan and Sarity. And then just knowing it would be somewhere in between is what my path would probably be, just naturally. But then I was kind of just naive, like, okay, people have babies, and that's what just kind of happens. So, cool. All right.
Yeah. All right, so how did you go into labor?
Water broke 9:45 p.m. I was laying in bed, I had to go potty, and I just couldn't stop potting. Like, I was peeing forever, right? Yeah. I was like, And then I called my sister, and I was like, so, what happens if you can't stop peeing? Like, that's your water breaking. I was like, okay. If you can't stop the tinkle, or what is it? She said, if you can't stop the trickle, it's not a tinkle. I was like, all right, Sarah, you got it. So, water was breaking. And then, I was strep B positive.
Okay.
So, I knew that I had to do, 2 rounds of IVs, like 2 hours each. Mm-hmm. So, I had to go in early. And if I didn't go early, that's fine. They would just test baby afterwards to see if they got the strep B thing. So I knew that I had to go in early for that. In terms of the plan, was to stay home, walk around the house, labor as long as you can before you go to the hospital. Right? So water broke, and I was strep B positive. So I called the hospital, like, yeah, Liza, I'm sorry, you got to come in. Like, we got to come in, make sure this is the amniotic fluid, and start the IVs. No, yeah, it's your first pregnancy. You'll probably be here for a while, but let's just make sure everybody's safe.
Right.
So he said, cool. So I got to the hospital like 11:15, seen in triage, confirmed it was amniotic fluid. I was in triage for like an hour and a half. I didn't feel anything.
Okay.
Like there was no contractions, there was nothing. I was just kind of hanging out like, la la la. We had a big cooler of food and drinks. Like we were ready. Like they may not feed you, so bring your own stuff. You know, I think we had like a whole mountain of stuff. I was like, we can't bring all this. We like picked and choose at the end, you know, to bring. So we had a fan, we had robes, we had slippers, whole shebang.
Sounds well.
Yeah. So got into the room and everything good. They did an ultrasound. The baby was head down. They said, okay, if you're not active labor in about 6 to 8 hours, we'll probably start the Pitocin.
Yeah.
Let's just see what happens. So I was like, breast pumping to kind of get the pre breast milk stuff out.
Yeah, the colostrum.
Thank you, colostrum out. I was trying to get that out. Just to get the body going. I was on the IV too, so I was clicked up by the breast pump and clicked up to the IV. But I was able to walk around a little bit, and then got the IV started, got the breast pump about 2:45 a.m. I have notes, by the way. I'm not just remembering this off the top of my head. And then the nurse told me I was having contractions. They were just kind of checking things out. I didn't feel them at all.
So, quick question, with the breast pump, how hard were you pumping? Was it like a really gentle, or were you pumping intermittently?
I was doing 10 minutes on the right, 10 minute break, 10 minutes on the left, 10 minute break, 10 minutes right, 10 minute left, 10 minute break. I was just kind of regularly for a while.
Did they tell you that can induce labor and induce? Okay.
And my books did.
Yeah.
The books that just try to get stimulation. They're like, some of the books were like, try to masturbate to get yourself going labor day. I was like, I don't really feel like doing that in the hospital. And try to have your husband suck on your breast. I was like, I don't really want to do that right now either. But I'll do the breast pumps. You know?
Yeah,
I'll
breast pump will work.
We'll do that route.
Not really
going to
be amorous right now.
There's so many options for you to try. I was like, I'll pick that one. So we're trying that for a while. So about 3:52, the nurse was saying I was having contractions. There was some pressure, but nothing much really happening for me. So I decided to get some rest, and I'd have another IV round in the next hour. This was like 4:30 in the morning, and then about 5 o'clock, contractions started to come. It would last for a few seconds, and then they started to come like every 5 to 8 minutes. So then I was just kind of laboring, right? So
yeah.
I was walking around, I was trying to take a bath, I was sitting, you know, backwards on the toilet, like they say you're supposed to do for different pressures, I'm seeing massages, and then I was just like, I felt like I couldn't get a break. Like, I didn't feel like there were contractions that would come and go and I'd get to rest. In my head, I was like, yeah, it's really hard for like 30 seconds to 2 minutes and then you get a break.
And then you
for
get a break.
Bit.
And sometimes they come right on.
Yeah. But I never got to feel like I got a break.
Okay.
Right. So just like constant pain. So I couldn't have like a moment to just breathe. I think my body was just tired, or maybe with like the tailbone pain, I was just sitting in the wrong spot. Like, it was just constant pressure and pain. It's not pressure. I don't like the word pressure. Like, pressure is different. Pain is pain.
Pain is pain.
It was
yes.
pain, right? So then I was like, can I get some type of pain med or something? So they brought me a shot. It was like 12:15 in the afternoon. We'll try an arm shot.
Okay.
I didn't feel that at all. I was like, when is this supposed to kick in? I was like, this is not working. I'm too much pain. I remember like calling my sisters. I was like, I'm in a lot of pain. And one sister was like, epidural,
just
was her thing. She's like, I did the epidural right away. I hate pain. Like, for all of her deliveries, she just give me the epidural. And one was like, labored at home and babies kind of slid out. And she worked her butt off that way. So eventually I was like, okay, this is the epidural. And I said, okay, epidural when you're in this much pain can be hard. You're supposed to be still, right? I was like, well, I think like the shot and like staying still for like a couple minutes is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just try that.
I think I can do it.
Yeah. And I didn't feel the shot or the epidural placement at all.
Okay.
Like that.
Good.
I had no idea what was going in. I was like, oh, that was easy.
Yeah.
I just remember like the idea of trying to sit still and then relax your muscles while you're having contractions and pain. It's like a weird process. Like,
relax your muscles.
Yeah.
What? All of your muscles.
Okay. So I was like trying to like visualize, okay, tightness in the belly, but softness in the back. And it was just so bizarre. Like, this is weird. But anyways, they got the epidural in around 1 p.m. And then at 4 p.m. it was time to push.
Yeah.
So we started to push and push and push and push. And so, remind me, like, I had the epidural, so I didn't really have feeling in my legs.
Mm-hmm.
But they were saying, like, the leg had rotated, so it was sunny side up. It was, like pounding into my pelvis.
Okay.
So they said, let's try, like, different positions where we can, like, stick our hands and then try to rotate during contractions.
Okay, so manual.
Yep, so first they went in manually and tried to rotate my contractions. They said they would spin, and then spin right back.
Okay.
So then, so the setup in the hospital room, it was like a double side. So there was like a waiting room within my room.
Okay.
There was a curtain.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my mom, my sister, my mother-in-law, and my father-in-law were hanging out on that side, which I totally opened. Like,
yeah.
They could do whatever you want. Just people can swim, whatever. So they were on that side, and I was on this side. I remember to this day, my mother-in-law had white pants on.
Okay.
But she's a nurse, right? So she's usually into things pretty well. So at one point, I was trying to stand up and get rotated. So literally, so I'm, you know, butt naked, all tied up. Can't feel. I was kind of feeling one leg, like I could put pressure on it.
but not really. So I had, like, my family member holding me in positions. Mm-hmm. Like, my mother-in-law had one leg, my sister had another leg, my mom was holding me up just to try to rotate this baby. It was like, I don't think you're supposed to be doing this with an upper normal, but if you're doing okay, do it. And then, like, the monitor kept on slipping, but my husband's a scientist, geologist, mm-hmm. so he could those screens really well.
Yeah.
So what he was finding out was, like, it was slipping, so the whole team would run in to kind of say, baby's heartbeat's dropping, we need to go. He's like, no, it's just, it's slipping off, so we push it back up, and it would be
great. And it would be great.
It was a disaster. We were all doing whatever we tried to do. For 4 hours, we were doing this. You know, different rotations, different things, and eventually baby said, not really come out. So Dr. Bull, which was my doctor, gave me 3 options.
Uh-huh.
We can keep doing this. She's like, I'm being entertained, but I keep doing this fine, right? Forceps, right, or C-section. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this was about 15 p.m. And so cleared the room, Eric and I was talking, at that point, like, I was crying. I was like, I worked so hard, I want this thing to come out.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, my mom had to have C-section. I was doing Mary Jo's, not in my head, like, sections are okay. And Eric's like, I'll do whatever you want to do. Like, fine. I realized you didn't want to do this way.
Yeah.
So we just, like, a moment thought about it. We both cried. And then we said, let's just do the C-section. Healthy baby, healthy mom. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. Don't want the forceps things. I've all heard the stories about forceps responses to the natural right. area in mm-hmm. the baby's head and things. Doesn't take them out of the world.
Yeah.
As you know, it's just, right? Forceps are probably fine for a lot of people. Right? And then I was like, oh, I'm tired. I don't want to keep pushing. I mean, yeah. At this point, I'm epidural in. Right? I'm not really fully involved. I'm yes. tired. So let's put the baby out.
Just go for it.
Let's right. for the next part now.
Okay.
So fine. 9:10, the baby was born. That quickly. Yeah. You're already sedated pretty much with the epidural, so they just turn it up a little bit. And they take you out in the room. I remember, like, shaking a lot. I remember telling the anesthesia, is this normal? I'm shaking. I'm full cold and shaking. Like, yeah, that's the anesthesia. And a little bit of feeling stressed out. Like, body's doing a lot.
It's so typical.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, like, you're normal, you're fine. Yeah. Like, whole body just shake. Mm-hmm.
Did they give you anything for that? Any treatment for it?
I can't remember. I remember they said they were giving me something, mm-hmm. right? But it was kind of blurry at that point. I remember just, like, keep breathing. Like, this is just your body going to work. It's fine. They're telling you it's fine. But I just couldn't. Like, a child was going. And it was exhausting, too. Like, the whole body shaking.
Okay? Yes.
So I remember they were... It's interesting. So in a C-section, you kind of feel the tugging mm-hmm. and the moving. So I knew they were working down there, and Eric was able to be in the room, and he has a thing about, like, shots and blood and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta stay with me here. If you feel like you can't be here, then pop out. Fine.
Yeah.
Right? But don't pass out. I don't want to see you and worry about you.
Yeah.
Right? He did great. He was there.
Good.
He could, like, reach over and take pictures. So there's, like, pictures of, like, my whole body open.
That's cool.
Pretty amazing pictures. And then Leif coming out. You just kind of coming out of the body, just covered. And they brought Leif to me right away up here, and I was, like, so shaky. I couldn't, like, hold him, so I just tried to look at him, like, hey, I love you, but I'm tired, so you're gonna go, Dad, I'll see you later, type thing. Like, we'll catch up later, dude. I was, like, trying to pay attention, look at him, and I was too beat, tired, to really engage. Like, I know that you're here, I'm glad that you're here.
Need a nap.
Yeah, like, I need to get myself back mm-hmm. together so I can hold you. I was just like, trying to hold my head up. I was so tired, I just couldn't really see him. So I was like, okay. And then they have, like, those stories of, like, the babies being separated and mixing up your babies, you know. So I was like, Eric, go with the baby, make sure everything is fine. So Eric went there with Leif, and I went into the recovery room. And Eric got to go back right away, and he was with Leif the whole time, measuring. I remember he got to cut the umbilical cord. I think they said yes, but anyway, he did not. So he got to cut the umbilical cord, and then they just did skin to skin with Eric.
Okay.
But during that whole time.
Which is great.
For Eric's support, right? They were just there. And then I went to the recovery room. So baby was born at 9:10. I was in the recovery room for about 2 hours. I kind of came, like, 9:45 was in the recovery. So the whole process took 20 minutes. So, and then we were there for 2 hours and up to the family room. Sweet. Nice. So that the hospital was born in Madison, Wisconsin with Leif. They had double beds. Mm-hmm. So, like, we could all be in the bed together. Like, Eric, me, cool. and the baby. Kind of, like, full space for what I wanted him. And... We're there. That was it.
So, how long did you wind up staying in the hospital?
So we had the complications with high bilirubin levels, so the Jaundice type thing. Mm-hmm. And then I had some trouble with my blood pressure down. Mm-hmm. So he was born on a Monday and he left on a Friday. And it was kind of a cluster because so we were going to get discharged on a bilirubin blanket,
okay,
which is, you know, kind of this, it's like a wrap, like a child's wrap with like a heating light thing on it. A wrap them kind of glow like nearly. So we had that for like 4 days when we finally got home. Then the hospital, they just had them there. So that's cool. We had all that access to that stuff. And then my blood pressure was kind of getting high, so we're working on that. But they discharged me. But I had a lot of pain. Just I needed the pain medication every 3 to 4 hours, okay, else my body would start shaking and just kind of start to slip out. So I knew this in my head, but I wasn't fully thinking there. Double check. That when we discharged, we needed a hard script to get pain meds. Right? Mm-hmm. At that point, some naloxone stuff, blah, blah, blah. So I needed a hard script to get pain meds at the pharmacist. So we were, remember discharging, I was with the baby in the waiting room, and we didn't have the hard script. I knew that I needed the meds in 3 hours, else my body would start to dysregulate. And we didn't have the hard script, so Eric had to go back to the hospital. So I'm sitting there with the baby, you know, like 5 days after C-section, like, sitting on the side, and then they couldn't call it in, so we're back and forth. And then finally, my doctor's partner, Dr. Bowman, was in the waiting room. She found me, oh, hi, Liza. I was like, I know this sounds really awful because of what's going on in the world, but I need pain meds. Can you write me a script for pain meds? Uh-huh. So it's at the hospital. I know that my body needs it. I don't think I'll need very much, but get me hooked up with pain meds. Mm-hmm. She wrote me the biggest prescription. I was like, oh, thank you. But access to that, I just needed it. Like, I had to work my way off of it. My body was just really dysregulated for a while. I had to take it regularly, and I was able to get down, so just ibuprofen, Tylenol, and then I was done with it. But if I did it, my body would start to shake. I just feel so intense. And so once we got all that situated, got him off the bilirubin blanket, then the final kind of complicated thing was it wasn't latching well for breastfeeding.
Okay.
And I knew that I wanted to do breastfeeding, but also knew it doesn't work out for everybody, so you just do the best that you can. So what they did was, since he wasn't latching well, we thought maybe he was kind of tired from the bilirubin levels, just mm-hmm. couldn't get it figured out right away. So they put me on a nipple shield.
Okay.
And I know another friend told me, like, try to avoid the nipple shield because my baby was on it and that's all he used mm-hmm. for, like, a year. That's annoying. You're washing the nipple shield and having to have to figure out what it is. Like, it's just an extra step. But they were saying that they were going to start supplementing with formula. And in my head, I didn't want formula. So I was like, okay, if I didn't do the C-section, if I didn't do the vaginal birth, they get the bacteria that way. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get the bacteria from my nipples. Like,
right?
So I did get on the nipple shield to feed him. And then that was a battle trying to get him off. So like, I don't want the nipple shield the whole time if you can. Mm-hmm. So I was going back and forth. And then eventually, I think it was like 6 weeks, took him to get off the nipple shield. Okay. And those were 6 weeks. Oh, that's right. And then, because he had the low bilirubin levels, mm-hmm. We were doing extra feeding. So, and then we were like feeding through a tube from my breast milk. So I was breastfeeding and we were feeding constantly. So like those first, I don't know, week and a half, there's like no rest. Yeah. So it was like breastfeed, pump, feed, breastfeed, pump, feed. So I wasn't really supplying or making enough milk. Yeah. So I had to just constantly do it.
Just keep.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That was insane. There's funny pictures, like the tube was like attached to my head, the breast milk going through it, so I didn't have to hold it, so I got the fingers and the hands, and Eric was doing feedings or rotating through, but you kind of forget all that stuff,
because yeah.
You want to have another baby, or so our biology does it, you forget all the hard stuff.
Yep.
There are some things, but I mean, it's worth it, you kind of, you know. It could be worse. It could be better, but it could be worse. It's okay. Get with you and your baby. Ask for help. What your needs are.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Big family that was around. No one lived in Madison, but they're like 2 hours away. And my mom come up, and Eric's folks come up. And work. Make it work.
It sounds like you did a good job figuring out what your needs were and just meeting them on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the patients. I know a lot of moms try to avoid them because mm-hmm. they like, I don't want to get on the, you know, the heart. Your body is mm-hmm. yep. Sometimes you need that just to keep from tanking your energy levels.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly like It's going to be different for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, what works for you, what do you do that? That's all that matters.
Yeah.
People have their judgment. You. Okay.
Good. All right. So you decided to have another.
I did. Miss Ava.
So we wanted them, again, a lot of wants, and what actually happens is another. Yeah. We wanted them 2 to 3 years apart.
Okay.
So when, that was a math workout, whatever way it was, when they would have been 2 years apart, we started trying.
Okay.
And they get pregnant right away. What is this? Like,
this just happened last time.
Shenanigans here. I'm supposed to get pregnant. So, you know, we first 1 or 2 months, and it was just whatever happens, happens. And the 3rd month, we wasn't pregnant. So, okay, Megan, what's the whole strip thing? You know, how do I get that strip stuff?
Yeah.
And then the first try to use the strip, we got pregnant.
Okay.
Right. So, it's just ovulation strips, you pee on them. You know, once a day, it'll tell you if you're ovulating or not. You have sex during that time, and you take, you know, stick a little bit later, it tells you if you're pregnant or not.
Yeah.
Right. Pretty simple.
That's great.
Yeah. Got pregnant that way. It turned out to be 2.5 years apart.
Okay.
Like almost to the day. Like her due date was January 21st. Her estimated due date was January 21st. His estimated due date was February 21st.
Okay.
Or July 21st, sorry. So oh, exactly 6 months apart.
That's cute. Yeah.
So Lake was a July 18th baby, and she was a January 24th baby, basically 2.5 years apart. She was a little bit more complicated because they thought that she might have a heart issue. Oh, I had more bleeding with her at the very beginning of the pregnancy.
Okay.
As soon as you blood, oh my god, I'm miscarrying.
Yeah.
Right. Which my sisters, I was close to me too. I had people that I knew that had miscarriages, mm-hmm. right? So I knew they're common and it's no big deal, you know. 1 in 4 is what's presented, but it's gonna be higher than that, people that know or don't know. So I knew miscarriages are common. They're gonna happen. Your body doing its work, things not gonna be available, so it's gonna take care of it. Yeah. So I was asking, I was like, okay, so that might be a miscarriage, and that's okay. Let's just keep trying along, checking with doctors, see how it feels. Miscarriage is okay. It happened.
Yeah.
Right. I did wrong, it didn't did wrong. We're okay. Right? We'll talk to the doctor about it.
Right.
So some bleeding got off, but things went okay.
Okay.
Get pregnant.
Did you at that time get any blood testing done to see what your hormone levels were doing?
Because we did it last time, and it was funky. So I was like, let's just let the body know what it's going to do.
Okay.
Let's just take it a day at a time. Whatever. Right? So we did that, and it went okay. At her anatomy, where we found out the gender, they said the heart looks a little funny. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Here we go. You know, so now we're, you know, 18 weeks along, and there might be,
yeah,
right? It gets kind of scary pretty quickly. But again, let's just let the body do what it needs to do. Let's get the information and not look things up.
Okay.
Do not look things up.
Don't Google.
Be a patient, not a weird kind of, just let it be.
All right.
So we transitioned from Madison to Clarksville during that time.
Okay.
So I switched doctors. I got hooked up with Vanderbilt to do the anatomy scan and went in twice to look at the heart. Each time they said, looks fine. Okay. So the heart's fine. Should be okay that way. The bleeding had stopped, so kind of cuts along with pregnancy, and it went pretty smooth, if I can remember correctly. Just checking here. Yep. Everything looked good.
As far as priorities in a delivery, do you feel like that changed between your pregnancies?
I landed with C-section without any qualms or doubts about it.
Okay.
I was going to... So first of all, they're not really big on VBACs, mm-hmm. right? So I called around a lot of doctors. One of them said, no, I'm sorry, we can do that for you.
Okay.
We can do that for you. There was one guy in one practice who said, yes, maybe, but like I'm out of the office a lot, so if I'm not in the office, it'll be no.
Right. Right.
Like my wife will deliver. Okay, so I got hooked up with the Vanderbilt group over in Springfield.
Okay.
And then they was part of it. Mm-hmm. We'll try a VBAC. Whatever happens, we're there for you. So if anyone has a baby in the area that wants to check it out, Vanderbilt group, Springfield.
The Vanderbilt group has an extremely high feedback rate.
Yeah.
Yep. It's wonderful.
Yep. Very excited to see them hang out with them. They were so helpful. And remember, there was this one doctor, Dr. Grimm was his name, mm-hmm. G-R-I-M-M. And because I didn't really care who I saw during my appointments, mm-hmm. so I saw different ones every single time to get to know people in the practice. Right. And so Dr. Grimm was like, I want to talk to you about your pelvis.
Okay.
And he did the whole thing, like,
I can't remember the name of it or whatever, but basically, you know, it was in a shape that it's not going to let the baby out very easily. You have a small baby,
okay,
you might be able to get it out, but he's like, that's probably why you used C-section last time, is just because you have a bigger curve at the top of your pelvis. Right?
Okay.
So like, babies won't get through there very easily. I think one of your people in your previous podcast talked about the garage door opening, mm-hmm. and it just would open halfway,
yeah.
So I think that was kind of going on for me. Again, I can't remember exactly what he said. I was like, thanks, Dr. Grimm. You know, Grimm about my pelvis here. He laughed about that. I know. Like, just don't be surprised if you can't have a vaginal birth. We'll try, mm-hmm. right? But that's the reason why. Okay, a bigger baby, probably not going to happen. And Lake was 8 pounds something. So, you know, technically above average. It wasn't a 6 pound or a 5 pound that might have slipped out underneath. Mm-hmm. Was big. Okay, so maybe a smaller baby might work, but if not, you'll see that.
Okay.
Cool. We'll wait for that.
Right. Okay.
So, much more flexible than that. Good process.
Did anybody talk to you about labor and delivery positioning to help with the pelvic situation?
Yep, and there was like a whole website like fitting babies, mm-hmm. and like getting ready to make your hands and knees off, getting your body up on the couch, mm-hmm. and all these things. And then during delivery, they did a lot of that.
Good.
Moving me around, fixing me around, and they did that for me in Madison too. Just a lot of movements and turnings and things. It's just not coming.
Seeing it sounded pretty progressive as far as the hospital situation you had in Madison, the letting you bring in your without thinking about it, all the positioning they were letting you do. You know, girl, I know a lot of the hospitals around here, you know, you're on your own to get that shot.
Yep. Yeah. They were awesome. So awesome. It was so flexible. So nice. Even like the monitors, like they're like, these are just recommendations. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, of course, so I was like, well, I'm not a doctor, so I don't listen to you, what you're saying.
Right.
But also be able to think through it a little bit. And then they would tell you why. This is why we want you to be on the monitor. This is what this is for. And then once you had the information, you could figure out what was going on. So helpful. That's why. So helpful.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need more mom-centered care.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great.
So how were the pregnancies different? Did you have any different, like, symptoms or cravings?
Not really. I mean, none of them really had cravings. Were pretty straightforward for the most part.
Still running?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little more hills in Clarksville.
Yeah.
But I didn't run as much. You, like, walk outside my door, there's a hill up and a hill down. So,
like, you're going to go up at some point.
And it's much hotter down here. So yeah. It's hard, like, during the day. And we had Lake running around, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a little more managed. We like the jogging stroller and we're doing the best that we can. We stayed pretty active.
Okay.
Yeah. Good to move. Like every day, I was like, I wanted to move at least 15 to 20 minutes a day.
Okay.
Doing something, whether that was stretching or walking or whatever. Just body feels better.
That's a good, gentle goal.
Yep.
Yeah. I think just about everybody said it.
Exactly. I can do 15 to 20 minutes, right? Yeah. I just walk up the hill or whatever.
Yeah.
Just stay moving. Body feels better. Baby feels better.
Did you do any different classes or anything like that? Or...
Sorry. Yeah, I don't think I took any. I had questions. I reached out to Megan if they helped going on or thoughts, but just go along for the ride.
Sounds like a good resource to
have. Yeah. They're so great. I still give us everything baby chat. We whatever we want, get information. We have Bean, my sister-in-law, Megan, Sarity, and my twin Ella. Baby ranges are from Kyrie, so 12 weeks up 13 years old.
Okay.
A huge variety of ages to help each other out. I'm right kind of in the middle, so I get benefits from both.
That's great.
Okay, that's wonderful.
So labor. How'd that go for
you? Labor, so it was much more quick. Kind of knew what was going on a little bit better. They didn't want me to go too much longer because my blood pressure was going up. So I kind of got my blood pressure. And so she was, estimated due date was the 21st of January. And they scheduled a C-section for me on the 25th. So do 40 weeks on Monday. And then Friday they were going to do a C-section.
Okay.
So on Wednesday I said, what are my options? Is there anything that we can try to do before the schedule?
Right.
I just wanted to see what my body would do. Fully planning the C-section, I'm totally up for it. I just want to try one more time to see what would happen. And they said, we can wipe your membranes.
Okay.
Do a membrane. sure, let's try that. So they swept my membranes. It wasn't that painful. It was like a little graphic, but I apologize. A really bad fingering job.
Yeah.
Not, like, just kind of sloppy, kind of pushed around and just kind of like, what are you doing out there? Right?
A little crampy, not yeah. pleasurable.
Yeah. Like,
but...
but it wasn't like too bad. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't the worst pain that I had down there compared to contractions and things like that. Like, so, got the membranes stripped to like 10:45 on the 23rd, and then at that point I was 4 centimeters and 70% effaced, right? And I had a C-section scheduled for Friday. So I started to feel contractions around 4 p.m. that day. They were kind of sporadic, right? So they things were going. So the membrane worked.
Dumb thumb.
Yeah. And then around 9 p.m. they started to get more regular. And then 10:45 to 11, it was like every 3 to 7 minutes. So I started up the kick, started timing, paying attention. My water didn't break this time.
Okay.
But I started to build the traction first. And then that night we had kind of bad weather coming through and kind of new to Clarksville and Tennessee winter. Like we're from Madison, Wisconsin, Illinois area, so we could do snow, right?
Yeah.
But then we heard that they don't really treat the
roads. Yeah, they don't treat the roads here.
Right. Okay. So we had an all-wheel drive vehicle. We were like, maybe let's just be cautious and go in when we need to go in, like that closer to a regular 5 minutes versus getting longer.
Okay.
I think that's when you're supposed to go in anyways. But 40-minute drive, so we're going to Springfield from Clarksville.
And those roads are pretty narrow and yeah. twisty going out there.
And dark.
And dark. Yeah.
Cows. So, so I said, okay, let's just get going. So my mom was there watching Lake. She was great. So we head that way. We left our hospital about 12:25 in the morning. When we got there, we were 8 to 9 centimeters. About 4 a.m., it was 8 to 9 centimeters. And then, like, I tried to do, like, the popsicles on the top of your mouth, and I was dancing with Eric, and he was holding me, and I was kind of sitting backwards on the toilet, just trying to get the body going. Then we hooked up a little bit more, so I didn't have as much flexibility. I had, like, a 20-foot leash that could move around in the hospital bed area. I could get to the bathroom, I could get to Eric. And I went with the midwife group with Vanderbilt, right? Mm-hmm. So Megan, the midwife, was in there with
me. Okay.
She was, I don't know, 4 months pregnant, 5 or 5 months pregnant. And the hours that everyone has to work as midwives, doctors, like, she was pretty tired. She didn't have any of the patients.
Yeah.
So she was so fun. She was sitting there with, like, a blanket wrapped around her, just hanging out. She was there, like, the whole time.
Just hanging out in the rooms.
You're with you. What do you want to do? Like, shut up, Megan. I'm trying to have a baby here.
So you said something about popsicles. What is that? I don't think I've heard of that.
So, supposedly putting cold things on the top of your mouth.
Okay.
Like a pain receptor there.
Oh.
So it kind of like numbs things out. Or it's painful to do that, so it puts your mind there.
So, kind of the same logic as like a tense unit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, exactly.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. It was helpful. Just not enough. Right?
Yeah.
Still not. Still painful. So, we were trying back and forth, And. Then eventually, so 5 a.m. I got the epidural. Again, I was able to sit still. They put it in. There was no problem with the epidural. And then right before the epidural, they were saying there's some decelerations in our heart. So okay. Oh, maybe there was something there with the heart. Remember, we were doing the ultrasounds for our heart back there. Maybe there's something that's happening. That will just, let's be mindful of it. We don't want to push our heart.
Yeah.
Right. So there's some decelerations before the epidural. And then... So 5:30, there were still decelerations, and also my water had broken at this part.
Okay.
This point. And one of the nurses was really excited. If you give birth, is she still in the sac? Can we take a picture? It does happen, but we haven't seen it. Can we take a picture? I was like, yeah, sure. So, there we go. So like 5:40, like we got to get things going with the deceleration. So they manually broke the water. So all the water came out.
Okay.
And then, so that was about 5:40.
At that point, you had not had an epidural yet?
I did. I got that epidural at 5.
At 5. Okay.
Yep. And then so at 5:40, they broke the water. So let's try to get this going. So we did, I pushed probably a few contractions around 6 a.m. They were doing, trying to move me around. Like they were popping me around, doing a couple different things. And I just couldn't get it to work. And there were still the decelerations going on. So I said, let's do a C-section.
Okay.
Just do it. And we didn't question at all. Like, great, let's do it. We went back and did the same thing. I wasn't shaking this time.
Okay.
I don't know if I just did a different route or more or less or my body was used to it. There's absolutely zero shaking and much less pain meds. It's all really
great
after this one. So, yeah, she came out and she was a 10-pound baby. So not the small baby that goes in the garage.
Yeah.
Who the doctor pulled out and goes, we have a chunker.
Started laughing.
And I was much more with it. So, like, they could put her down with me. I was hanging out with her, talking to her. I was much more engaged with her. Went to the recovery room. Seeing on skin. Came out 7:16 a.m. in the morning.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Two babies. We're done. No more babies.
So what was recovery like for from your sections?
I overdid it. Oh, that reminds me. Okay, so let me continue with Ava then.
Okay.
So like my C-section was good. Like I was at the zoo like 8 days later. We were walking around the zoo.
Right? Okay.
I maybe had more downtime in the hospital. Like I was forced to stay low in for bed, 5 days or whatever. And then I didn't have a toddler running around, so when we got home with Lake, we were just kind of laying around, and very slowly went to the zoo, walked around. I was a little kind of sore, but kind of walked kind of slowly, but
yeah.
It was okay, right? And then with Lake, I did a lot of pushing, so I was sore in my vaginal area too, but nothing too extreme.
Yeah.
So with Ava, I had a toddler.
Okay.
So I was more active with her, with Lake. And the recovery didn't seem as bad, maybe because I was more distracted by other stuff, but I didn't have the pain killers and all that stuff. But with her, I think I overdid it. So they tell you, if you go through a pad more, pad quicker than every 3 hours, let us know.
Okay.
I was going through a pad like every 2.5-3 hours. Sometimes it'd be like a big gush, I would fill up a pad quickly.
Yeah.
It'd be nothing for a little while.
Okay.
This could possibly be underneath that, but I wasn't really talking or asking anybody. I was like, this gotta be normal. They kind of do this for a month.
Okay.
Was kind of bleeding on and off, and they're kind of keeping an eye on my iron counts. Bleeding a lot, and it's kind of blurry. But basically, at one point, my mother-in-law was in town. She's a nurse. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I was sitting on the bed. I was like, oh, here's one of my rushes. Mm-hmm. And it gushed. And I was like running to the bathroom. There was like a blood trail. And Syl was like, hey, I love you, but not listening, and you need to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
I was like, well, let me pump one more time, get out the milk, and I'll call Eric, and he'll pick me up. I might cry a little bit on this, because it was such a pain in the butt. Whew. So, then, I was bleeding, and then Eric came home, like, let's go to the hospital. So, went over to, like, the Tenova extension one, not the main hospital. Mm-hmm. And at this point, like, I was laying there, and, like, I couldn't even describe it, like, a pound of stuff comes out. Like, it's just curly, it's pussy,
okay.
It's skin stuff, just came gushing out of my vagina. And they're trying to pack it to keep it in. And they didn't have the resources at this Tenova, so it's kind of a newer one, they didn't have access, so they maybe list me over to the main hospital.
Okay.
And they're just trying to stuff it, and they're just, like, you're losing a lot of blood. So that's where I got connected with the OBGYN group here in Clarksville,
okay.
By our office there, mm-hmm. Memorial. And Dr. Coffee came in, and she was like an angel for me. She came in, she said, this is what's going on, it's okay. We're going to get you on iron, we're going to get you some stuff, but I think you're going to be okay.
Okay.
So let's stuff you and get you home, here's some iron, let's keep an eye on it. We'll get you to the office later this week, and we'll pull it out and see what's going on. Like, it gets kind of blurry, but basically I couldn't keep my like blood levels up or my iron levels up, so I did like a DNC-ish, just to see if there's anything left over there from Ava, and they pulled out a little bit. DNC was a little bit more uncomfortable, but wasn't like, I didn't have to go under for it.
Okay.
So maybe it wasn't DNC, but they pulled stuff out, like it was like the lights.
Yeah.
Type thing. So, they're in there pulling stuff out, I said, okay, we think we have everything out, blood levels down, so let's get some iron, let's reevaluate. But if not, we're going to put you into the hospital to get platelets and a blood transfusion.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm trying to breastfeed, get some milk stored up. I was going to the hospital. And then I went to the hospital and said, we need to do a blood transfusion. I went to the hospital, they checked me in. They're doing blood transfusions. And okay, this feels good. And they just want to kind of get home. If we're just doing a blood transfusion, let's do it. My plates are good. So there's another doctor in there. They said, yeah, things look good. Blood transfusion is done. And I was pushing. I was pushing to get home. That was on me. I'm like, okay, if you think you're feeling okay, you can go home. It's okay. So I went to the toilet, to go to the bathroom, get in the shower, to go home. So I had another big gush, and I passed out in the toilet. Right, it was boom. So I woke up, and like the whole world is in there, and they're just working at me, and I'm now doing more blood. So I can't go home. We need to get this figured out. So for 3 days, I was in the hospital, and they put me down the ICU, which freaked out the family. So ICU, what are you doing down there? I just kept on saying, they don't have a bed for me somewhere else. They don't really know what they're doing with this. Okay.
Yeah.
And I remember just, like, being poked by needles constantly, and I couldn't, like, I was, my veins, I didn't have a lot of blood, right? So they're just poking, and I just want to go home. I just want to breastfeed. I just want to be with my family. Whew. But fortunately, like, I wasn't getting meds, so I could still pump.
Okay.
So I was still pumping, and I could bring the baby in. Like, they were bringing an Ava, so I could be with her every once in a while. And blood got back up. Everything got back to normal after those 3 days. I was discharged with iron pills. And everything was fine after that.
Okay.
Except for now, I still have massive bleeding. Like, tears are like 14 days. And they're really heavy. So we're trying to get that figured out. It's been years later, kind of come and go.
Okay.
Right now, I'm on NuvaRing, and that's helping organize better. The birth control didn't touch it.
Okay.
So I'm on NuvaRing, and that's usually like 3 months of normal, and then like a month of just like.
Yeah.
So they don't have a lot of information about women's health. So they don't really know what's going on or why. And yeah, it's common. Like, oh, they're just irregular or just heavy. There's always stuff that's going on.
But this isn't, yeah.
Okay, I want more information. I want more research. I want more, like, for half the population, why don't we know this stuff?
Right.
That's so frustrating. Oh, it looks normal. I was like, okay, but it's not normal.
But what's normal?
Right?
Right? Yeah. So, is this normal for me? Is this normal for...
Let's talk about this. Yeah. What is this? So.
Have you tried using the NuvaRing to skip periods?
Yeah. So, like, I'll do it for like 3 rounds and then have a massive period.
Okay.
And then 3 rounds and a massive period. And then sometimes I'll need to like, but if I start to break through, I'll have to skip one and just let it have its period. Like, yeah. My body's saying you bleed. They'll say it's normal. It's fine. So,
okay.
So they check my iron, make sure it's okay that way.
Yeah.
I feel fine. It's just not.
Yeah. Yeah. So, breastfeeding, I mean, that sounds like a little bit of a hiccup. Otherwise, how'd that go for you?
Breastfeed, but okay. You know, I put the pressure on me. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Formula. Right. Once I got past the bleeding and the scabs that you get on your boobs, once I got that past, it's great. I've been really flexible with breastfeeding. So many women come up and say thank you, like, I'll breastfeed in public.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was at the Mission Barbecue down in Nashville by Grand Ole Opry. I was breastfeeding there. You know, I would like have like the shirts that you kind of come out. I didn't do the cover.
Oh, those are handy. The ones with like the convertible.
Yeah, the little things.
Yeah.
So I would breastfeed there, and I remember walking in the bathroom, and a woman followed me, and she was like my age. You know?
Yeah.
So I just want to say thank you so much. Like, I don't feel comfortable breastfeeding. But like, stare at me, or they talk about me, or they tell me it's wrong. My family members say I can't do it outside.
Yeah.
Where am I? Like, oh, where
is the cell?
Right. So it was just. I don't know, I was always just open about it.
Yeah.
Remember one time we were at a restaurant, I was breastfeeding. The server, I think maybe the server or the busboy, could not have been older than 60.
Yeah.
I was breastfeeding with a glass of wine, right?
So okay.
I have a glass of wine while I'm breastfeeding, and then by the time I'm breastfeeding, I stop drinking.
Yeah.
Right? So the body goes through it, and it's fine, right? And the bus server said, you shouldn't be drinking. Yeah. What is that? Well, because you're breastfeeding. I think I got it handled. Right? Thank you.
Okay.
And really, I don't know if I should do this. I don't think I should have this. So I was like, okay. And my husband said something.
Yeah.
So I knew I was going to flip shit. I was a 16-year-old boy, whatever. He doesn't know. It's not my business what he does or not. Whatever.
Yeah.
And so Eric said, excuse me, table, wife looks comfortable. If you have an issue, call a doctor and talk about it. It's okay. Hold it. She can have. That's why when she starts breastfeeding or pumping, it goes through the body, and then 2 hours later, she can't. What such thing as pumping and dumping anymore?
Yeah.
Right? And there's a process, right? So.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends who are physicians, and one of the most helpful things they told me was that when you're drinking, the only thing coming through your breast milk or getting to your baby has to go through the liver first.
Yep.
So if you aren't raising your blood alcohol content that much, it's not getting. Which is so
cool. The more information they know, we
can do things with it.
So I'm gonna say we got hot meals and drinks that night. The manager came over and said, you know, he's a young boy, that's how you learn. I didn't want to like scold him or shame him. I tried to educate him and say what was going on and why. But
Hopefully he went out into the world with a little more knowledge.
I mean, he's out of DYN now.
That was great.
I hope I looked some stuff up.
So I have a question on here. Who is your most trusted resource in it? It sounds like your family.
Yeah, for sure. And coworkers. I was kind of the youngest at my job. Everyone's 10 years or older than me.
Okay.
So I had two women, Mary Jo and Kim Fisher, who both had one baby, both had different stuff that went on with their babies one way or the other. Right, so they had all these type of stories for me. Right? Yeah. I mean, nothing is normal. Everything is out there, so it's okay. Talk, ask questions, see what happens. Right? And then that worked out really well. Friends and family. It's nice to see.
Good.
Yeah.
Really good. Who were you able to talk to after the birth? Did you have a lot of resources, or did you seek out any professional help or anything like that?
I didn't do professional like therapy or anything at that point. My mood felt good for it.
That's right.
So what I reached out to was just kind of, does this make sense? It's okay to sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of friends in the area, but not as starting to have a kid yet, or Mary Jo and Kim, right?
Okay.
And they're like, well, it was a while ago. I'm not kidding. I can remember that. But they are both social workers.
Okay.
So I was surrounded by social workers, and I am a social worker. So just in general,
yeah.
Like, fine, or let's talk about it or whatever.
Right? Yeah.
So people are just very understanding and open, right? I was going to breastfeed or pump. Like at one point, we were interviewing a new coworker,
mm-hmm.
and he rode along with me, and I was pumping in the car. Totally fine. I'll sit back here. Nobody wanted to adjust your stuff or whatever. Right? It was just a really laid back, nice place that way.
That's wonderful. Yeah. It's great to have that kind of support. What would you recommend for other women based on your story with your speech?
Flexible with yourself, right? Don't pressure yourself. Whatever happens, happens. Talk, ask questions. Everything is normal. Just talk about it, right? We don't talk about it enough. We don't know enough about it. So have more of a community together talking is so much easier.
Yeah.
So often the fact you like went through this traumatic thing and you mentioned it. It's like, oh, I did that too. You find out after the fact, mm-hmm. right? Instead of in the moment. Just told to be quiet and take your Instagram pictures and have the house perfect and whatever. That's not reality. That's not it. More stressed out trying to take care of that stuff.
Yeah.
Ask yourself, what do I want to do and how? And then do that. Right? Just kind of be aware of your process, how you're feeling, what your needs are. That's what's about. Baby. Right? If people don't agree with you, then push aside a little bit. Have a little boundary.
Maybe they're not your people.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah.
And reach out for mental health support, right? If something feels right, there's therapists in the area that have been through it, have been training about it, they'll talk to you about it, they'll understand, and it's a safe place, right? You don't have the judgment for it. So find the village, find the people that work for you, right?
So, to wrap up, what do you think was, like, your highlight of the birth process versus what do you think was the worst part for you?
I think the highlight was just that we are mammals and we make babies this way. Like, it was just so cool. Like, I was developing a baby within me. It was going to come out and be around. Even now, the good days and the bad days, just, I made you, right? You're part of me, right? Little manners and stuff, just that we can make life and make birth, right? And so it doesn't look like that for everybody. You know, some people aren't able to have babies or don't want to have babies or adoption or IVF processes. So many things that are out there, right? Just the idea that one way or the other, however it looks for you. If you want a baby, you can have a baby.
That is
the low light would be all the health stuff, yeah, right? The pain and the bleeding on Ava was pretty intense.
Yeah.
That was not a fun process, but the low light or the low light,
right?
Light, yeah.
No, it. Yeah, I think it's really great that you shared that, because a lot of women are, oh, you know, it's not pain, it's this, or you don't have to go through that pain. And just acknowledging that, you know, sometimes it is pain. If that's what you're experiencing, that's what you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it can suck.
Yeah. People do it differently. Like my other sister-in-law, water broke at 9:30 a.m. and had the baby by lunch. And just kind of came out and, right? So everybody's different. Everyone has their process, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty strong. Everyone has their stuff. Right, that's all okay. You're good for doing it.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, thanks for having this podcast, having women talk.
Yeah.
Get an option for it and a voice for people.
My pleasure. Thank you, Liza.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Normal Birth Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or are interested in being on the show, please send me an email to normalbirthpod@gmail.com.